You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Wednesday afternoon. You know what that means. Wednesday afternoon, we go to this thing we call the Grand Council. I get together with two fellas who've been doing this longer than me. We ping each other with questions. Don't even know the questions in advance. We just see how we do and how we fare with the answers. So I will take the time now to call the roll. So from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville. Also, by the way, writing for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson, are you with us? Stand at ease. All right. Then turning to the south, do I hear from FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show, and also, by the way, the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you very much. Butters, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da! Ba-da-ba-da! All right. A quorum having been pronounced, we go to the questions. And Dale Jackson, you are first, buddy. What you got?
So 1819 News, Yellowhammer, and almost everyone else seems to love this new ad by Anthony Daniels, where he says, you know, hey, look, I am the 2nd Congressional District. He's not there wearing a suit and shaking hands with guys on tractors and things like that. It's just a, hey, I'm one of you. I think it's a pretty damn good ad, and I think everyone tends to agree. My question is, does that short circuit the ad that says, hey, here's the 2nd Congressional District, and then pans out and it says, but wait, is where Anthony Daniels lives. Does that short circuit that ad?
Jeff, take it, man. What do you got?
I don't know the Democrat primary if it does. I haven't seen anybody that lives in the 2nd district that's really shown any reason that they can afford to get up on air with that ad and do make that comparison. Maybe it matters in the general, but right now I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think in the Democrat primary, they're going to look at who's the, you know, the most favored candidate who can make the most, you know, most presence. And it does not appear, like Jeff said, that anybody else has got any chutzpah that, to go on air or to fund a campaign. Either that or they're just keeping their powder dry. But I think Anthony Daniels is going to wind up very likely. I think he's got the strongest likelihood right now of being the Democrat primary electee. Your own question, Dale. What are you thinking?
I mean, I think you're going to hear about it. It's going to be like one of those whisper campaigns, I think, more so than anything else. Maybe there won't be an ad up. You know, who's going to want to go against the guy like that when he'll still be the minority leader even if he loses? So maybe you don't see it, but I think it'll be a whisper campaign. And then, yes, in the general, I expect that you'll see it, as long as the person that wins is someone that is from the district.
Although I will say this, I think Anthony Daniels is a smart guy. He's probably already ready for the question, well, are you going to move here if you get elected? And he better have a good answer for that one, because that would be one of those moments when you're at a candidate forum that you need to be able to answer that question.
I mean, that's not a very hard question. It's yes, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope it's a yes, although you don't have to. I mean, he could easily say, I'm going to live in Huntsville, man. I got a house. My kids are in school. I don't know. But I think he'd better be prepared to go, yeah, y'all elect me, I'm your man. I'm moving down. We'll see. All right, Jeff, what do you got, man?
So this is kind of on this thread of the 1st and 2nd congressional districts. You hear it from a lot of these candidates when you talk to them. Well, we're really going to start going at the first of the year. Let these guys go ahead and do what they're going to do. But our strategy is to really hit it hard in January. How many times have we heard we're holding our fire till later from losing campaigns over the years?
you hear that from the ones that have no money. And they're hoping that somebody who has money dies or gets out before they run out of time. You're right. I think it's interesting that that's always the way it's done or said, But the truth is, it's real obvious that hardly anybody right now, and it's such a short primary for these guys too. I mean, the new districts just came out, so all of a sudden, bam, you got the lightning round basically of primaries. Dale.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we're gonna get them later. Never really works. I mean, it just doesn't seem to make much sense when you're talking about it, and it doesn't really ever win when in practice. So yeah, I don't get it.
So Jeff, are you saying that 1819 is going to run a story about how many times that cliche has been used in Alabama politics?
No, but I got to thinking about it because I'm starting to hear it, and it just feels Mo Brooks-esque, right? Like, oh, just you wait, we're coming for you, January 1st. Or something.
Oh, you had to go after Mo. That was what was that about?
No, I mean, how about this though? Like, you're in a crowded primary, you got to get out front first. You've got to have whatever advantage you can in a hurry up offense. And I kind of think that's a silly way to look at it right now.
Well, we have so many people running in that primary season right now for that one CD2 that, I mean, it's like you got both the offense and the defense on the field. I mean, you've got enough to field two teams.
It's important to point out, too, for everyone listening, you know, this district, while it is the second congressional district and it may not be where a lot of these listeners are, it's still a huge deal because – that district helps Democrats pick up one seat and get one seat closer to the majority. It's a big deal.
My is in both districts, okay? And it's like trying to round up these guys to get them to come on, and you do hear, well, we're waiting. We're really going to get serious later. Even for free earned media, that you're not even getting engagement from some of these candidates.
No, you're not. And the keep your powder dry thing does not work when you got this little time to work with. You need to be out there and getting the job done. And there's ways, by the way, you can do this without having to pay big bucks. I mean, you can run a good grassroots. You can be at every single event. You can have a massive social media presence. You can do stuff, but keep your powder dry just means you ain't working. All right. Last question this round. Let me ask you this. So I drew the ire this morning of Alabama Democrats and progressives on Twitter. So Tabitha Eisner gets out there and just says stuff all the time. By the way, for those who don't know, she's the vice chair of the Alabama Democrat Party, and she is something else. Well, right now the Biden administration is prepared to issue new regulations, and those regulations would basically say that if you do not affirm a child's gender choice, that it is considered child abuse, and it would immediately disqualify Christians from, fostering, being foster parents. Tabitha Eisner is all for that regulation. Have the Democrats just lost their ever-loving minds? Do they ever stop and think about what they're saying out loud? And will this regulation become law? Jeff.
I asked my 2-year-old what he identified as. He said giraffe. I am probably going to be, y'all come see me in jail. We're not going to identify him as giraffe. But it's a stupid, unenforceable regulation.
I identified as Batman when I was a kid, and it didn't happen. But Dale?
I don't know. You lived a pretty interesting life. You might be Batman. the simple fact of this is we should be putting kids in foster homes that need them. And we should take almost anyone we can get. And things like this are not a deciding factor for me. I will also go the other way and say that if there are gay couples that want to adopt people and they've been vetted and all these other stuff, we should consider them as well for foster family, for adoption families. We need to help these kids as best we can and put them in loving, caring situations. And I think this idea that we always try to cram whatever little social thing we're feeling at the time into these issues, I think is a bad idea just across the board.
No, I agree with that sentiment completely. And that's the way it is. When a kid's going into foster care, it's because they've come out of a difficult, oftentimes abusive environment. And if there is someone there who is willing to love on them, provide for them, care for them, feed them, make sure they have what they need for a productive life, the very idea that, and by the way, take a look at, generally speaking, people of faith. I think you'll find that they are oftentimes more nurturing than you're going to find if someone who has no faith whatsoever. So, yeah, there's that. All right, fellas, round one, Appreciate you. We'll come right back from this break, and we'll be heading into round two, Grand Council, with Jeff Poor from 1819 News and got his own show on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, and Dale Jackson, host of his show, program director, WVNN in Huntsville, also with Yellowhammer News, and just little old me. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Going right back to the phones right now, we got two brethren in radio who are on with us every week for the Grand Council, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. And I think, who did I have first? Dale, I think you're up. What you got?
Yes, that was me. I should always go first.
Huh?
You mentioned Tabitha Eisner. She's one of my favorite people in Alabama politics, mostly
certainly
because she's a complete idiot and she doesn't know it, and that's the best kind of idiot. I asked her today about the whole, you know, Tommy Tuberville wants to see the Third Reich Army.
Oh, yeah.
Because he called the United States military weak, which if you look at recruiting, you could probably make the argument. And if you look at how the world's reacting to us with Russia and China and,
oh yeah,
you know, Iran and anyone else doing whatever they want around the world, where we used to be a big dog doing whatever we want, it seems like he might be onto something. But they decided to call him basically a Nazi. The ADL, finally, their southern chapter, dropping the hammer on Democrats. But Democrats don't seem to care. And oddly enough, Alabama's media doesn't care. Will they ever care? What has to happen for the media to cover the Alabama Democratic Party?
I don't know. I mean, I look at this. It's so the hyperbole and the overuse of terms like Nazi and racism. It's to the point that it's almost, you almost get numb hearing it, and or numb to hearing it. Like for instance, the kid at the Kansas City Chiefs game who the liberals are out there saying he's wearing blackface. No, he was wearing black and red face because he's a Chiefs fan. I look at this and think, what's it going to take to cover him? I don't know. Maybe they have to stand naked in the public square, eating apples and shouting at the top of their lungs before they actually get press coverage on it. I don't know. But you're right. They ignore at their own peril because the rest of us begin to see it. Jeff?
If it involves a mayor who's dressing, cross-dressing and putting it online, maybe they start covering Alabama Democratic Party. They commit suicide. But that's the only way you have to drag them kicking and screaming to these things. Here's what I'd say, though. I just think it's just kind of emblematic of the Alabama Democratic Party and going into a very important election cycle where they could really pick up a congressional seat. And you have clown hour going on.
Yeah, clown hour, perfectly. The circus, send in the clowns. Your own, you kind of opined on your entry, but what's your final thought on it, Dale?
It just blows me away. You would think they'd want to cover this. This is a neat story. Gets you lots of clicks, and people would come out and defend them. And I'd love to see them attempt to do so. But you don't ask one elected official. You don't ask one party member. You don't ask anyone about it. You don't force their hand. It's just, damn, Democrats got it good.
Well, look at the freaking softball interviews that Biden gets, you know.
Yep.
What's your favorite soup? Do you like ice cream? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's childish. It's absolutely childish. All right, Jeff, take the next one. What you got?
All right, we're like a week away from this presidential debate in Tuscaloosa on a scale from 1 to 10. How much do you not care?
I tell you, the one that I really want to see more than anything is the debate between Newsom and DeSantis. I'm looking forward to seeing two polar opposite governors go at it and see how that goes. But I care in the sense, for next week, I care in the sense that it's happening in Alabama. First of all, I'm proud that we're doing it. I'm proud that we're hosting it. I like being on the national stage. Is it going to move the needle? I don't know. I mean, we're down to the point that I think it's going to wind up being DeSantis and Haley are the two that are going to wind up still having enough, mojo to keep things moving But they're still not going to overtake Trump anytime soon, Dale.
I'm excited about it. Jeff, are you going?
We're on the wait list, 1819 News.
Yeah,
I'll tell you how it is.
I'm on the wait list, too.
Yeah, so... I'm somewhat excited about it. I like this kind of stuff. I would like to see them ask about Space Command or Tuberville or something related to Alabama.
Do you think Megyn Kelly cares? I mean, do you think she will?
No, I don't. I'm just saying I'd like to. I'd like to see what happens. We're down to four candidates that are going to be there or something like that. I think this is good for everyone involved. Let's see what they can do.
I think it's good for everyone involved. I think it's good for Alabama, though, and that's my big takeaway from it is I'm excited that John Wall, who's doing some stuff even at the national level, was able to drag that thing in, and I'm glad.
What's up with the fundraiser for Ramaswamy beforehand with the ALGOP?
They're having a Ramaswamy fundraiser before that. Well,
I mean, they did it with Trump. They did it with DeSantis. I think, you know, just have these presidential candidates come in and talk to people and do a fundraiser.
You meant that the ALGOP was hosting a fundraiser for Ramaswamy, right? I get what you're saying. Okay.
He's their appearance at one of their fundraisers.
Yes.
Oh, I got you. My mistake. My mistake.
All right. Last question I got for you. We are like down to crunch time. Democrats are about to be locked into their top of the ticket pick with Joe Biden. I mean, you got the Iowa caucuses, the New Hampshire primary right around the corner. In the next 60 days, Democrats are going to be basically on the hook. So with 2 minutes left to go, are we going to see some type of a health scare or some other surprise that gets Biden out of the way so they can bring in their real ticket master? Dale, what say you?
If he lives, he runs.
If he lives, he runs. We could put that on a T-shirt.
Joe Biden, if he lives, he runs.
Jeff, what do you think?
I think your health scare is misplaced. I think the health scare would be like a second round of COVID or something to keep people at home and maintain Biden, maintain a kind of election system where people could stay at home and vote for Biden.
I think that as long as they can keep, I mean, right now they're banking on keeping Trump off the ticket. That's what they're banking on. Reality is, I think he's going to make it to the election, and they're going to try to have somebody to replace him soon after he takes office. That's where I've seen it going. I don't know. We'll find out. 60 days though. I mean, we're inside it. It's going to be interesting. All right, so Dale is game on for the debate next week. Jeff could care less, even though he's on the waiting list. I'm excited. I say let's go for it. Appreciate you guys, both of you. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 Mobile, host of his own show, The Jeff Poor Show in the mornings. He's also the editor-in-chief of 1819 News. You can find him at 1819.com, news.com. And then Dale Jackson from WVNN up yonder in Huntsville does all the program directing, his own morning show. Eno, by the way, writes for Yellowhammer News. You can find him at yellowhammernews.com. And then just little old me doing the Grand Council every single Wednesday. All right, folks, listen, we got more of this stuff. Stay tuned, because when we get back from this next break, I gotta ask you, how do you feel about cultured meat in the laboratory? Butters is gagging. How do you feel about the World Economic Forum suggesting that the best thing we could do would be switching to, I don't know, cricket burgers? Just saying. It's the war on meat. I'm calling this next segment Bringing Home the Bacon and the Beef and the Poultry, by the way. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.